Good morning. And Happy New Year to you. Thank you. A little spooky, huh? Yeah. Dead Poets Society. Definitely a movie to make you think. I like those kind of movies, even though that one is a little bit on the dark side. But definitely if you take the challenge, it will make you think. Right now, I want to challenge you to get your outline out of your program so that you can follow along with today's message. The president of the Procrastinators Club of America, there is such a thing, announced in Philadelphia. This is what he said. We're a little embarrassed. This is the first time we've observed National Procrastinators Week on time. The Procrastinators Club, formed in 1957, is devoted to putting off just about everything until tomorrow or later. The president says, "We feel that anything worth doing is worth putting off." I hear any amens on that. I hope not, but maybe so. None of the 80 or so members pays dues on time. If they did, says the president, we'd throw them out. Well, if your oven looks like the tar pits because you haven't gotten around to cleaning it, or if your garage is crying out to you for straightening or painting, or cleaning of some kind, or if you just keep putting off that big project, you may be a viable candidate for the Procrastinators Club yourself. Maybe you can relate to the bumper sticker that says, "If it weren't for the last minute, nothing would ever get done." And maybe some of you can say amen to that. All of us procrastinate to some degree because we can't do everything as soon as we might like to. But if procrastination is keeping you from accomplishing your work, accomplishing important goals in your life, it's a problem that you can deal with and should deal with now, right? Now. The title of our message today is Putting Off Procrastination. How do you know if you are a procrastinator? Well, according to one researcher, I guess there are people who study these things, you need to ask yourself these questions. We'll put them up here on the screen. When faced with a big or important task, do you stall? Things like reorganizing your desk, cleaning out the cupboards, straightening files, going shopping, things like that. Second question, does change, risk, or a new situation cause you concern, even fear? If it does, this could be a sign that you are a procrastinator. Next question, when faced with difficult or unpleasant situations, do you tend to get headaches or feel ill? Do you get out of, next question, unpleasant tasks by delaying, criticizing, or complaining until someone else does it? Next question, do you make plans to do and to-do lists but have difficulty following through on them? Next question, do you put off tough jobs and wait for, quote unquote, a better time instead of taking constructive steps towards solutions? Next question, do you put off those menial chores that you really want to get done, you know should get done, but never do, like cleaning the garage, or maybe painting the lawn furniture or something like that, if it's the kind that needs to get painted. Another one, do you tend to avoid confrontations? important confrontations, ones that you need to make with friends, your spouse, or even a salesperson. Next question, do you sleep or being tired as an excuse for putting things off, typically? And then finally, do you find yourself being bored a great deal of the time? These are all signs of procrastination. And if you answered yes to all, or even a few of these questions, procrastination is most likely negatively affecting your life right now, and probably your relationship with the Lord and your commitment to His church. There's a scripture verse in the book of Hebrews. Actually, it's a couple of verses. Chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, where it says, "Let us strip off every weight," now notice the wording, "that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." I believe that for many Christians, procrastination is that sin that so easily trips us up. It's not, quote unquote, one of the big sins. It's not, you know, committing adultery or murdering somebody. But nonetheless, it holds us back from being the extraordinary Christian God has called us to be, and rather we end up being just the mediocre, just, you know, kind of getting by and stumbling and bumbling through life. Let's read the next sentence together. "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." I think that's a great way to start off this new year, is by looking at that verse and thinking about and applying practical steps that will help us to do what that verse says. Our main idea kind of wraps up the gist of what we're saying today, and that is put off procrastination now. Put off procrastination now. Don't delay. We're going to look at three principles for putting off procrastination, and these are listed there on your outline. The first one is point number one, be proactive rather than reactive. Proactive. Some of you may remember the story from when you were a kid of the ant and the grasshopper. You know how the story goes. The ant works hard to store up food all during the summer for the approaching winter, while the grasshopper just, you know, sleeps in and just has a lot of fun and doesn't worry about getting ready for the future. And when the winter finally came, the ant had plenty. The grasshopper was cold and hungry. And of course, this story illustrates the difference between being proactive versus being reactive. Like the ant, the proactive person thinks ahead and acts ahead. But the reactive person, like the grasshopper, waits to be acted upon before he acts. But long before this story of the ant and the grasshopper was written, God put the whole situation this way in the book of Proverbs. Look at it, chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, you procrastinator. Go to the ant and consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." This passage is important because it shows the difference between the proactive versus the reactive person. The ant has no overseer or ruler. In other words, there isn't anybody breathing down his neck to get the job done. There is an inner compulsion, an inner drive to do the right thing. You want to beat procrastination? You need to learn to be a proactive person, just like the ant is a proactive creature. The proactive person maintains a healthy diet and gets periodic checkups. He also knows how to talk as preventative medicine. But the reactive person eats as he pleases and goes to the doctor only when he gets sick. The proactive person gets his oil changed, gets those tires rotated, brakes checked before the car breaks down. But the reactive person waits for signs of wear or malfunction before he brings his car in for any kind of maintenance. The proactive person thinks and acts ahead, but the reactive person acts when he's in over his head. A good way to remember it. It reminds me of the Catholic priest that was being honored for his 25 years of service at his congregation. And there was a leading politician who was going to come in and give a nice address, a little speech in honor of this priest at the congregation. But he was a procrastinator. He tended to put things off, this politician did, and so he was running late. And so the priest decided that he would just stand up and say a few words while they were waiting. And this is what he said. He said, "You know, I'll never forget my first impression when I came to this parish. It was a very negative impression because I went in to do confession, you know, to hear confessions. That's what they do in the Catholic Church. The priest goes into this little room and the confessor comes in, the person confessing and says what's on his heart. And he said, the very first person that came to me for confession, it just horrified me. This guy said that he had just stolen a TV, and when he was stopped by the police officer, he nearly murdered him. He had stolen money from his parents. He had embezzled money from his business. He had had an affair with his boss's wife and was addicted to illegal drugs and had given venereal disease to his sister. And I thought, man, I was just appalled, this priest says. But then, as the days and the weeks and the months and the years went by, I really got to know this congregation. I realized that person was not representative at all of this congregation, which is so loving and just filled with such good people. And I just want to say how glad I am to be here. Well, just about then, as he finished up, the politician arrived, and he was full of all kinds of apologies for his lateness, and he immediately dove into his task. He said, as he got up to speak, "I'll never forget the first day our priest arrived here at this congregation. In fact, I had the honor of being the very first one to go to him for confession." So the moral of the story is, don't be late. Instead, be proactive, because you never know what you're going to miss. You come to church late, of course it's better, as people say, and I agree, better late than never. But I always say, better never late, right? So, which are you? Are you more of a proactive person or a reactive person? In his book, Life at Warp Speed, Fritz Ridenhour says that you can tell if you're proactive or reactive simply by listening to your language, the kinds of things that you tell yourself. The reactive procrastinator says things like, "I meant to, but I forgot." Or, "I'd like to do it, but I just don't have the time." Or, "I don't see how I can do it because there is just nothing I can do about it." Whatever the thing may be. "I know I put things off, but that's just the way I am." Now, folks, If you hear yourself saying those kinds of things to yourself on a regular basis, that needs to change. That's the grasshopper talking. We've got to get the lead out. Fritz Ridenhour goes on to say that the reactive person must learn to turn reactive talk into proactive talk, such as, this needs doing, I'm going to make time for it today. Or, I'll have, as my dad used to say, let's do it now and talk about it later. That's when we were procrastinating as kids, my dad would say, let's do it now and talk about it later. And that is a great little saying, and I think of that often when I've got little chores to do, you know. Rather than whining and complaining or trying to pass it off on somebody else, let's do it now, talk about it later. Are you proactive or are you a reactive person? On the job, doing your housework, in your relationships, are you proactive or are you reactive? When was the last time, for example, you said to your spouse, I love you? When was the last time? Say, well, I haven't heard that myself in a while. Well, that's a reactive attitude. You see, you're waiting for the other person to act first rather than being the initiator. It's being reactive. Be proactive. Are you proactive or are you reactive it comes to saying kind words to people or to forgiving people? Christians are taught in the New Testament to take the initiative to patch up relationships that are hurting. We need to do that. We need to adopt a different kind of mindset, to imbibe an attitude, to think proactively, to talk proactively, to act proactively. And you'll proactivate procrastination right out of your life if you do that. So become proactive rather than reactive. Second principle is point number two on your outline for putting off procrastination, and that is be a doer rather than a stewer. You know what a stewer is? That's somebody who stews. I know it's not in the dictionary, but it's one of my words, stewing. I, you know, want it to rhyme here with doer. That's what it is. Stewers are people who spend too much time saying, if only. You know you're a stewer if you have this if only kind of an attitude. If only I were more gifted or more talented, I'd be more productive. If only I had more time, I'd be a better father. If only I had more money, I'd be more generous. If only I had more knowledge. If only I had been raised differently. If only I were better looking. If only I were thinner. If only I had a wife, says the single man. If only I had a different wife, says the married man. If only I had my wife back, says the divorced man. If only I were younger, says the older person. If only I were older, says the younger person. If only I had a job, says the unemployed person. If only I had a different job, says the employed person. If only I had a house, says the homeless person. If only I didn't have this house payment, says the indebted person. Should have, would have, could have. Those are all sentiments of the stewer. And you know, it doesn't matter what kind of circumstance you're in, you can always find something to complain about. I don't care who you are, if you got as much money as Bill Gates, you can still find something to complain about. And I don't care who you are, what kind of circumstances you are, how poor you are, you can always find something to be thankful for and to be grateful for. It's all what you concentrate on. Those who have studied procrastination say that it's often rooted in simple laziness. Let's get real honest here. It's like the slogan that says, housework rots the mind. I love this picture, came across that this week. This is laziness. The picture of laziness there when they're putting the lines on the... some city worker was very, very lazy. And the result is stewing instead of doing. If you're going to beat procrastination, you have to learn to be a doer. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 4. This is a great verse. We need to read it together, folks. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. That is a great verse. Those words can revolutionize your life. Again, listen to your own language. The stewer says, if only, whereas the doer says, can do. The stewer says, if only I had a nicer wife. But the doer says, I can be kinder. I can be a more loving, supportive husband. The stewer says, if I only had more education, then I could get a better job. But the doer says, I can get that degree, and I can get a better job. I can do something about this situation. The stewer says, look at how many bills I've got. If only I made more money. But the doer says, I can be more economical. I can, and then I'll have more money to spare. Are you a doer or are you a steward? The steward says, I'm not going to start until I know I can do it perfectly. But the doer says, I'm going to do the best I can and learn as I go. You know, perfectionism can be the cause of procrastination too. Perfectionism. Perfectionists often resist starting a project because their standards are impossibly high. And so they'll hesitate to make a decision for fear of doing it wrong, for fear of making a mistake. The result is stewing rather than doing. So, are you a doer or are you a stewer? Let's look at the third principle for putting off procrastination. Number 3 on your outline is deal with God in the now. I read the story once of a staunch, unbelieving farmer who died, and in his loneliness and bitterness, he willed his farm to the devil. And at first, the court didn't know what to do with this will. What do you do with property that's been willed to the devil? But after several months of deliberation, the court handed down the following decision. It said, it is decided that the best way to carry out the wish of the deceased is to allow the farm to grow weeds, the soil to erode, the house and barn to rot. In our opinion, the best way to leave something to the devil is to do nothing. Isn't that the truth? I think that was a wise decision. You don't have to claim to be an unbeliever, you see. If you procrastinate and postpone what's most important in life, your relationship with God, you may as well leave it to the devil. Deal with God in the now. There's a legend that says that the devil once summoned his angels, his demons, to consider how best to win the world over to his side. And one of his demons said, send me. I'll tell everybody that there is no God. They will never believe you, came the devil's answer. Most of them know that there is a God. Another demon came forward and said, send me. I'll tell them that there's no hell. That's no use, said the devil. Many of them have made a sort of hell for themselves, and they know that it must exist. But then another demon spoke up. He said, send me, I'll tell them there's no hurry. And this advice satisfied the devil. He sent his demon out to do the work, where he's still doing it today. One of the best tricks that the devil has at his disposal is to convince you to procrastinate with God. Deal with God in the now. Look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. In other words, to waste it. How could you do that? How could you waste God's grace? Well, let's read verse 2 together. For he says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. How do you waste God's grace, receive it in vain? You do it by procrastinating, by not realizing that you need to take advantage of what God gives you now. Did you know that for God, there is no future? There's no past either. There is only the present. All of time is simultaneously present before God. All of time, past, what we call past, present, and future. It's all in front of him, presently. God calls himself the great I am. Not I was or I will be. He is the I am. And this is why God always tells us not to put things off, but to deal with him in the present, to do what's important now. None of us is promised tomorrow. It may be a morbid thought, but we all know it's true nonetheless, that any of us could die this very day. Do you know that if that happened, and it could happen to any of us, by next week at this time, they could have you in the ground already. Imagine that. By next Sunday, when we have this service, you could be, your body could be 6 feet underground. That is a sobering thought. If you were to die this very day and to stand before God to give an account of your life, would you be ready? Are you prepared? Have you settled the single most important issue of your life? Your eternal destiny. You can, if you haven't already, by putting your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to save you from sin and to hell. He's the one who died for you on the cross and arose from the dead. And he calls you today to follow him, to make him the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life. If you haven't done that, my friend, you're headed for an eternal destiny apart from God in a place the Bible calls hell. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Don't leave Jesus outside knocking on the door. Let him in. Deal with God in the now. Is there something in your life, Christian, you know God wants to change? Don't procrastinate. Deal with God in the now. Is there something you've been putting off that you know you should do? Don't procrastinate. Deal with God in the now. Is there something in your life God wants out? Deal with God in the now. Seize the moment. You're not promised tomorrow. Don't put off till tomorrow what you wish, what you will wish you did today. We stand on the threshold of a brand new year with no mistakes yet. It's like when you look out in your backyard just after the snow has fallen. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Before the dogs gotten out there and messed everything up. It's just so beautiful. I've always felt, it's almost a crime to walk on it. It just looks so beautiful. Well, that is our year before us right now. It would be the greatest tragedy of your life if you came to the end of it and discovered that you had neglected the very most important things of all. I challenge you to join us on the New Testament journey, to read through the most important piece of literature ever written, the New Testament in the Bible, God's Word. Our New Testament journey takes place on three levels, as we've explained many times. Level one is the personal reading. We have a reading schedule back there on the back table where you can follow through, as Chris explained earlier, and read a chapter. It begins tomorrow, so you're not too late to start. And what a great thing that will be to read through as a church together. The second level is a small group participation. And if you're not in a small group, pick up a brochure and the back table there that all of the different groups are represented with their own brochure. So pick one up that suits your schedule and your geographical area, because all our groups are going through the New Testament together in this challenge. And level three is our Stony Creek Sunday services. At both of our services, I'll be teaching on the New Testament. Here in this service on New Testament characters, and at our 9:15 service on a survey, kind of a detailed survey of the New Testament. Both, I think, will be worthwhile. But you need to be here for those in order to benefit from it. Be here. Are you a procrastinator? Put off procrastination now. Someone has said, and I believe it's especially true in regard to procrastination, the best way to make your dream come true is to wake up. And I think we need to begin 2009 by waking up. What is it that you've been putting off? Is it membership here at Stony Creek Church, committing to membership? Is it baptism? Is it something else? Don't put it off. We're going to end our service here in just a moment or so. The ushers are going to come, as well as the musicians, for our offering today. And while they're doing that, let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God to work in our hearts in this important area. Father, all of us put things off to a certain extent. Some of us do it a lot more than others. I pray, Father, that this message will convict each of us in our area of need. I pray for that person who knows that he should commit his life to Christ, but he's never done it. I pray that person today would come and tell me or Ron or Mary down here after the service, I need to be saved. I want to put my trust in Christ as my Savior. Will you help me to do that? Maybe somebody else here, Lord, is struggling with an important decision, or putting off something that should be in or out of his or her life. Lord, please, I pray that this year would be better because we started with the right kind of commitment. Help us, Lord, to put off procrastination and become doers rather than stewards, to become proactive rather than reactive, and to deal with you in the now. We thank you for these gifts that you have given to us to give to ministry, Lord, as tithes and offerings. We pray that you would bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.